I want to go a little bit deeper into sacred scriptures today. You know, we've commonly heard, I'm sure that we've heard this over and over and over again. It's always good to repeat things because when we're repetitive, then it just begins to stick within us. But I want to deviate a little bit today. In the past, we've heard about, you know, we've talked about the resurrection because that's what this is really geared towards. All the readings are really geared towards the resurrection. But I want to take us on a different route this time. I want to go a little bit deeper, and I want us to enter into the Maccabees today, into what's going on in the second book of Maccabees with this mother and her seven sons. And in order to understand that, we need to also understand the verses before these verses that take place, what transpired. But a little bit of history dealing with the Maccabees. And I think as we begin to enter into the history, we'll also see how what transpires in the Maccabees is actually affecting us and how we can respond to the difficulties and the trials and the tribulations that we have today in our society, how we can respond as Christians and live out fully our faith and evangelize others in our lives. So let's take a look at this. Historically speaking, what happened is Alexander the Great. Here's Alexander the Great. Everybody knows Alexander the Great. He conquered the world, okay? And at that time. And Alexander, when Alexander was about to die, he split up his kingdom amongst his generals, okay? And Antiochus, who was the king now of this area, was in charge of this area. Well, Antiochus, he wanted the people to begin, he wanted to unify all the religions, okay? Unify all the religions, okay, in the Greek religion, all right? In the Greek religion, pagan religion, in other words, okay, to begin to offer, to eat pork, to offer sacrifices to pagan gods, all these things, okay? And for the Jews, they can't do this because they know who the one true God is, the God of Israel. And so they're presented with this dilemma. Okay, how do we do this? Because, see, Antiochus at the present time is telling the Israelites, he says to them, he's forcing them, you know, to do these things. And many of the Jews are beginning to fall into these pagan religions. Many of them are beginning to embrace the pagan religion. Okay? And so they begin to do that. Because why? Because they've become worldly. They become worldly. They want the easy worldly life. Okay? Isn't that interesting? They want the easy worldly life. And so they begin to fall into it. They think that God is way too strict. Okay, way too strict. All right? So they begin to fall into it. They begin to eat pork. They begin to sacrifice to gods. They begin to go to the gyms. And see, the gyms back then were really bad. Okay? They were really bad. Okay. So they would go to the gym. And one of the things that they did is the men began to cover over their circumcision. Okay, how does that apply to us though? Covering over our circumcision, what does that mean? Remember, Christ said, be circumcised of heart. We need to be circumcised of heart. In other words, to hide our faith. The Jews begin to hide their faith. All right? They begin to because they were ashamed of their faith. They were ashamed of their circumcision, which is the sign, which is the covenantal sign. So they were ashamed of that, so they begin to cover that over. And you know, how is it for us? How do we cover over our Christian faith? Because we are ashamed of it at times. You know, we have to take a look at that. Well, let's take a look at what's going on. Well, during the persecution, what happens is right before this happens in Maccabees with the mother and her seven sons, powerful witness there, you have Eleazar, who's this 90-year-old man, okay? And the governor of the town brings Eleazar out because he knows the influence that Eleazar has over the people because he's this older man. And so they know that he has this powerful influence over the people. And Eleazar is saying, no, I am not going to eat pork, nor am I going to sacrifice to the gods, the pagan gods. And well, the governor, you know, he wants to make things easy for Eleazar. He says to him, hey, you know what? You know what? Why don't you just do this for us, okay? Instead of making it so difficult, bring some meat that is not pork. Bring your own meat and eat that in front of the people. Okay? And Eleazar was like, what? What type of example will that give? Even though I preserve my life, even though I deceive everybody else, I do not deceive God. And God will hold me accountable for my actions. But not only that, me, a 90-year-old man who influences all the people, I will have an effect on them. I will affect the way they act. And so Eleazar says, no, he knows that his personal witness itself is going to be strengthening the others around him. And it's very interesting, the words that they use. It uses, he had courage to refuse the things. It says he had courage. And then it goes on to say, therefore, by manfully giving up my life, he says, by manfully giving up my life. Why is that so important, the word manfully? Because we're going to hear that with the mother and the seven sons here. Because the word manfully and courage have an impact on us today, because it goes all the way back to Genesis, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. If we want to know what's going on, we have to go to the Garden of Eden. Okay? We have to go there. So we're going to go there in a minute. So here he is, he's manful, and he has his manfully courageous. And he willingly gives up his life because he knows he'll be held accountable before God of how he has witnessed to his faith and held fast to the laws. Wow, how does that impact us as we're sitting here thinking about ourselves in the world today? So now let's go to the mother and her seven sons. Now they follow. It's immediate. It's interesting how the chapter on the mother and her seven sons follows Eleazar. Because remember what I said, Eleazar knew his witness would impact others. And so now this mother is asking her sons to give up their lives instead of to embrace the pagan religions, instead of embracing the worldly ways, the worldly means of living. She's encouraging her sons to die. Encouraging them to die. And it's beautiful, the words that they use. It says, filled with a noble spirit, she fired up her woman's reasoning with manly courage. With manly courage. With manly courage. Wow. Why do they put that onto her? Why do they say that? Why do they say that? Let's go back to the garden. And let's try to understand this a little bit better in the Garden of Eden. Okay? Here we go. We go back to the Garden of Eden. You know, one of the sad things is that I think one of the reasons why we fail to witness, because of the fear that's in our life, we're afraid of what people are going to think of us. You know, you got the youth today who are afraid, you know, peer pressure. We hear peer pressure all the time, you know, right, guys? Peer pressure. You know, peer pressure is just not for the youth, the kids. Peer pressure is on us, too. So we have worldly peer pressure affecting us, and so that affects us, and we lack the courage to stand strong in our faith at times. Not all the times, but there's a majority of times in our life that we do. And so let's go back to the Garden of Eden and find out where that came from. You know, one of the reasons why they emphasize manly courage is because Adam did not have manly courage. He did not have manly courage to stand up against the evil one. The evil one, and to protect his wife, Eve. That's what he lacked. He lacked manly courage. He was afraid of his own life. He was afraid. He saw the evil one, how big the evil one was, and he had fear of the evil one. He feared, you know what? He feared to give up his life. He feared to lose his life. Whereas Eleazar and the seven young, and the seven sons of this woman, and the woman herself who gave up her life, because she too died. She too was tortured and killed. They had manly courage. They were willing to give up their life for the faith. Whereas, and the beautiful thing is they believed in the resurrection. They knew that God would resurrect them. Whereas Adam failed to believe in the resurrection. He failed to believe that the God who created him could raise him up, could give him back his life. So he feared losing his own life, but in the end, he lost his life because he failed to defend his wife. He failed to defend his wife. So he lost his life. You can't escape. We cannot escape. God won't let us escape because he wants us to profess our faith. He doesn't want us to cover over our mark. He doesn't want us to cover over his image. He wants us to proclaim. He wants us to have that manly courage. And that's why he gives us the sacraments. And that's why we see these people here willing to give up their lives with that manly courage. That's why we have all these saints, these martyrs, who are willing to give up their life for their faith. Because you know what? I talked about peer pressure amongst the youth here and amongst ourselves. Well, guess what? We need to give holy peer pressure. We need to give holy peer pressure. We need to encourage our Christians, our Christian brothers and sisters. We need to encourage one another to live a holy life. Mom and dad, it starts with you. Husband and wife, it starts with you. It starts with us Christians in school, at work, with one another. Because see, we have each other. We see the family here of the seven sons, the seven brothers, and their mother. It's a family. They support each other. Wow, what a great image for us. What great encouragement that is for us. And God gives us every means to be courageous. He gives us baptism. He gives us confirmation. He gives us Eucharist. He gives us the sacrament of marriage. He gives us the anointing of the sick, because when we're sick, it's so easy. When we're on our deathbed, it's so easy to lose the courage and to begin to doubt. And yes, at the last moment, we can lose our soul. At the last moment. And God's going to hold us accountable for our actions. He gives us every grace necessary to fight the good fight, to overcome the curse of Adam and Eve, to overcome the wimpiness of Adam, and to show, and to once again show manly courage. To show manly courage. A courage that Adam did not have, that Adam lost because of fear of life. But we have the graces necessary, and we have the witness of the saints and of the mother and her seven sons, of Eleazar. We have them to encourage us, to give us holy peer pressure. Let us live this faith. Let us go forth courageously. And let us show the world our mark. And our mark is Jesus Christ.